right. Good morning, LifePoint. How's everybody doing? Everybody good? All right. Guess what? It's January again. This is awesome. I like it. I like the sun and the cold better than the moderately warm and pouring down rain. So, we're so thankful that you're here with us this morning at LifePoint Church, worshiping, hanging out, connecting with each other. And we're going to see how that is. Ties directly into what we're going to be talking about today. So as you know, if you've been here or if you listen to the podcast, we are currently in week 3 of our new message series that we kicked off for 2020 called Faith Forward. And what we're doing in this series is we're taking each Sunday in the month of January and we're talking about some very clear and intentional steps that we can and should be taking in order to move our faith forward, right? To grow spiritually, to be more connected with Jesus. And so just a quick recap of what we've covered so far in the first 2 weeks, we started things off with what I refer to as our faith forward foundation. Because in growing up in a very strict, legalistic, religious environment, some of these things that we're talking about in this series can be honestly used in a negative way. Because what happens is we think that we should be doing all these things. And honestly, you should be. But they're forced on us and they're told to us. And you got to do this and you got to do this. And then, therefore, the moment that we struggle with it or we don't do it, we freak out. Right? We get discouraged. We get upset. We think God's mad at us. And so we just kind of stop doing it or we beat ourselves up over it. When in reality, grace is such a pivotal piece to our faith forward journey and our spiritual growth. So we call this the faith forward foundation because we need to understand that as we move forward in our relationship with God, as we seek to grow and strive to become more connected to Him, we've got to understand that it's going to get messy, right? It's not going to go perfect all the time. And it's not like if you do this, this, and this, then everything perfect happens after that. Trust me, that is not the case. I know we could all think back on times in our lives. I'm kind of just cruising through one right now to where you feel like you're doing all the right things. You're focused, you're determined, yet like things just keep going wrong. Thus, my car is currently dead once again in my garage, and I don't know why, and I've already poured like $1,300 into a car that's barely worth that. It's really exciting, you know what I mean? It's awesome, you know, that's life. But it's messy, right? It's like everything, and our spiritual journey is no different, and God knows this. So when we strive to grow closer to Him, He wants us to do so from the understanding and perspective and foundation of grace that He gives us so that we don't beat ourselves up and we keep moving forward, right? Faith forward. So last week, we started off with one, our first kind of things that we can and should be doing, and that's to connect with God. And we talked about 4 different things that we can do to better connect with God, right? We talked about prayer, right? Simple, makes sense. You want to connect with God, you need to talk to Him. So we talked about prayer and how we need to talk to Him about everything. And we have to be real with Him when we do. And talking to Him continuously. We talked about solitude, something that I'm terrible at, but I'm trying my best to practice it and get better at it. And it's been incredible when I can actually do it. But we need to get away and get alone with God. We talked about fasting. I've been fasting for something each week this month, and I hope that you're doing some of that as well. But if you've never done that, you need to begin to put that into practice into your spiritual journey because it's just a beautiful way we can connect with God. And then finally, taking in the Bible, right? Whether you read it, listen to it, talk about it, study it, listen to podcasts, whatever, but take in the Bible. It's God's Word. These are the ways that He communicates with us. And so if we want to connect with Him, we've got to practice these things, all with the understanding of grace. It's going to get a little messy sometimes. Get that spaghetti on your face, right? So today we're going to be moving beyond connecting with God directly, which is, in my opinion, of our faithful journey, the most important piece. But we're going to take it a step further, and we're going to talk about how we need to connect with God's people. So not only we connect with God, but we connect with God's people. And this is incredibly important because we were created as relational beings. God wants us to be together. He knows that we need relationship. Even for you that are more introverts, you need relationship. You need to connect with people. It's important. It's critical. We need each other. We need each other. We've got to have each other's backs. So we've got to be connecting with each other. That's why in Genesis we read that it says that it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good for us to be isolated and all by ourselves, trying to do this thing called life solo. It's not good. We need each other. So if we want to begin to move our faith forward, we've got to begin to connect with God's people. And this is incredibly important. And I'm pretty passionate about this right now, specifically for LifePoint Church, because I think we need this more than ever. We talk all the time about doing life. I hashtag do life all the time. It's on a lot of our materials. And I believe in the fact that we as a church community, as LifePoint Church, should be doing life together. And we are good at that, for the most part, on Sundays, but not so great after that. And that's not like me like saying you guys, that's saying me. So I'm pretty passionate about this, because as we move forward as a church, this is something that we are going to be paying a lot of attention to and giving a lot of life to, is finding or creating opportunities for us to connect with each other outside of just the Sunday gathering. And it's important because we see it in Scripture, right? Like anytime that you're going to look at what the church should be about, we've kind of got to go back to the first church, right? We go back to the book of Acts and we look at the foundation of the church. And when we look at why it's important for us to connect with each other and why it's important to connect with God's people, the first thing that we see is that connecting with God's people is in the church's DNA. It's one of the many purposes of the church as God created it and designed it, is for us to connect together, to be together, to do life together. It's part of the church's DNA. In fact, Acts chapter 2 says this, and you've probably heard this, and I know I've preached it before, but it's so powerful and it's so important because this is what the church should be. It's what it should look like. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, communion, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together, so they're coming together, all the believers met together and in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day. Don't miss that. I'm asking, you know, we're like, LifePoint's like, hey, come on Sundays. They worshiped in the temple each day, right? Every day they met together and worshiped. And then it says they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That, my friends, is the church as designed, as God intended. Us being together, connecting with God's people, meeting, worship, eating together, hanging out, doing life together, right? It's kind of what it's about. And notice what happened when they did those things. When they connected with each other, it says that people were being saved. I mean, isn't that what we long for? for people to know Christ, for people to know this beautiful gift that we have been given from God of redemption, that we are not our old self, but we are a new creation. We've been transformed. We want to take that to everyone. We should want to take that to everyone so that they can meet Jesus. And they said when they met together, when they did life together in a real way, people were being saved and their numbers were added and they grew and they continued to grow because they were connected together, connecting with God's people. It moved their faith forward. The second reason why we see that this is so important is that connecting with God's people makes us sharper. It makes us sharper. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. I love that passage. When we do life together, when we connect with God's people, we're sharper. And what that means many times is that we're better, right? We're better. We're more connected. We're closer to God. We're more equipped to do the things that God has called us to do. We're more prepared for life, to battle what's coming, to fight and work through what we're going to go through, because we as believers have come together and we're sharpening each other. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And I don't know about you, but I want to be ready. I want to be prepared for whatever comes my way. And one of the ways we do that, yes, we connect with God through all those things we talked about last week, and we continue to do those, but we also have to connect with each other. I mean, I think about all the times in my life where I've been able to come together with other believers and just have conversation, just dialogue. And how, man, I would get pumped after that. And I'd be excited. And I would be ready to take on whatever. I think back when I was in Bible college, I kind of initiated a lot of these conversations because there was a lot of things that was challenging me over at Boys College and Southern Seminary. And so I would come back to my group of friends who were believers. And we'd be hanging out like 2-3 in the morning, just, and I'd be like dropping like theology on them, and we're like wrestling with it, and we're talking about it, and we're debating it, and just laughing about it, and there are inside jokes about, you know, theology or whatever. It's kind of weird, but we were sharpening each other. We were preparing each other for life. I mean, I think about conversations that I've had with Daniel. And we wrestle with things together. And Daniel and I don't know if you all know this or not, but we're kind of opposites. Like we're very different. And it's one of the most incredible relationships I have because of that fact. Because we challenge each other. We push each other out of each other's comfort zone. Many times he keeps me a little bit in check. And a lot of times I push him out of his comfort zone. But it's beautiful and it works and we're sharpening each other. And all the other countless conversations that I have with people, where they might think they're coming to meet with me to get some type of wisdom or help and work through something, but in reality, I'm becoming sharper as a follower of Christ, as a human, as a person, because I'm with them, because I'm connecting to God's people. We become sharper. It is so crucial for us to connect and to do life together. And so maybe you're kind of like, yeah, that's makes sense, all well and good, iron sharpening iron, heard it, it's beautiful, it's great, but how does this play out in life, right? How does this work? What does this end up looking like? And so what I want to do for the rest of our time this morning is I want to look at two stories within Scripture, one Old Testament, one New Testament, and see a few different times where God used his people to do some incredible things. See, because when we're connecting with God's people, we are going to move forward. Our faith is going to grow. So the first thing that we see is that when we connect with God's people. One of the first takeaways is that God will use his people to speak truth and life to you. Yes, God will speak directly to you at times. Again, he does it through prayer, solitude, fasting, through his word, through nature, through his creation. But guess what a part of his creation is? You. So he uses his people to speak truth and life to you. I think it's a beautiful example of this, and it's pretty heavy, but a beautiful example in Nathan and King David. And you've probably heard this story before. It's in 2 Samuel, but kind of tee up the background real quick. King David, you know, we all know David is a man of God, strong man. A lot of us aspire to be like him, and we hold him in high regard. But the dude made some pretty jacked up decisions. He did some messed up things. And one of those things that maybe he's most known for is that with Bathsheba, right? So all the kings were off to war. He was staying back, and he's out one evening, and he sees Bathsheba on a roof taking a bath. He liked what he saw, and he's the king, right? So he's asking some people about her, like, hey, what's up with her? And they're like, hey, that's Uriah's wife, blah, blah, blah. He's like, well, bring her to me. And they bring her to him, and he sleeps with her. Then she sends back word later, hey, surprise, pregnant. So then David's like, okay, how am I going to cover this up? What am I going to do? So he says, hey, bring Uriah back for more. I want to talk with him. So he kind of small talks him a little bit. He's like, hey, you know what? You know, you're doing such a great job. I want you just to go home and enjoy your wife. You know, he's trying to figure out a way to cover his tracks. Uriah can come home. He can get with his wife, you know what I mean? And then she's pregnant. There we go. It's easy. He's got this wrapped up. But see, what he wasn't expecting was Uriah was honorable. And he slept outside the palace doors. And David's like, dude, what in the world? Why didn't you go enjoy your wife? And he's like, man, all of these men are out to battle. All my brothers are out there fighting. How could I then? They're sleeping in tents outside. How could I then just enjoy this? So David's like, okay, cool. Got another plan. Let's go have some wine. See, he's about to try to get him tipsy. Then send him home. Then it's got to happen, right? A drunk Uriah is going to happen. No, he still stayed honorable, and he stayed outside, slept outside again. So then David's like, okay, cool. Well, I'm going to write this letter. I'm going to send you back out to war. And he took this letter and delivered it. And what it said was, put Uriah out on the front lines where the battle is the most fierce, and when he's out there, draw back the troops. He sent him to his death. Uriah carried his own death letter. This is David, King David. Some jacked up stuff. And what we see is that God could have directly spoke to David and said, hey, what you did, messed up. Not cool. Not right. You need to be repenting. You need to make some changes. But instead, God chose to send one of his people. He sends Nathan to bring truth to him in a way that he knew would rattle David's chains and would open his eyes to what he did. So check this out. 2 Samuel chapter 12. All that before was in chapter 11. This is chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, so the Lord sent Nathan, the prophet, to tell David this story. So he's using a story. He said, there was two men in a certain town. One was rich and the other was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but a little lamb that he bought. He raised this little lamb, and it grew up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. Some of y'all got dogs like that and cats like that, I know. Right? One day, a guest arrived at the home of the rich man. But instead of killing the animal from his own flock and herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his guest. Not cool, man. David was furious. He says, as surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity. David was not about this story. He was like, this is wrong. Not only is it wrong, this dude needs to die for this. And then Nathan said to David, you are that man. You are the man. The Lord, the God of Israel says, see, God is speaking through Nathan to David. I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Ammonites and stolen his wife. Then moving on to verse 13, then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Yes. And Nathan replied, yes, but the Lord has forgiven you. It's like this beautiful, redemption story, which we see all through Scripture. Everything is leading to redemption. But in this situation, God used his people to speak truth and life to David, to call him on his bull. He used his people. And I can't tell you how many times that God has done this in my life, where he has sent somebody to me to speak truth and life over me in the moment I needed it most. Honestly, though, I was thinking about some of the different times, and the one that always sticks out to me, because it's one of the most recent, but it was one of the most powerful I've ever experienced, was we had just moved here and moved these two churches together, and I was struggling. I was taking some heavy shots, and it was just really, really rough, and I was still working 50 hours, 60 hours at Uspiritus a week, and it was just tough season. And many of you know Roger and his wife Soraya, and they had a Wednesday night prayer meeting out in the house, and I'm like, well, I'm going to go to and check it out and see what's going on. And so I was at this prayer meeting with him, and afterwards, his wife Soraya came up to me and just grabbed my hands and was like, it's okay, you got this, you're doing the right thing. Stay the course. Know it's tough. And I knew that was God speaking through her. It was so powerful. It was so emotional. And it was so comforting. To the extent that I still get emotional about it today. And I'm so thankful for that moment. And I typically tell her that from time to time. She's probably tired of hearing it. But I'm so thankful for the fact that God used her to speak truth and life to me in the moment I needed it, in a way that God knew I would receive it. He does it all the time. He uses his people. That's why it's so important for us to do life together and to connect with each other, because God's going to use his people to connect with us and to speak truth and life to us. But the second thing that I want you to see about this, and this is where it gets heavy, and this is where I don't want you to miss it, is that God will use you, not me, you, to speak truth and life to somebody else. See, a lot of times in the church, and we were talking, we had a training and a meeting here yesterday, and a lot of times we like to put pastors, or the ones that we view are the most prepared or equipped or called or whatever, in the church, and we put them on this pedestal, and we're like, hey, God's going to speak to you, and then you can tell us what to do. And yes, God does that, but he does that through all of his children, all of his believers, through the ordinary. Trust me, I am ordinary. I am not special. God has just placed me in this position at this point in time, and I just have a different responsibility right now. But you and I, we're the same. We're on this journey together. And just as God can use me to speak to someone else, he's going to use you to speak truth and life over someone else. And he does this all the time. The question really comes then, are you available? Are you listening to God? Are you connecting with him to listen to what he's saying? And are you willing to actually do that? Because he will use you to speak truth and life to somebody else. He will. And again, we see this in Scripture and in the New Testament. We see this with Ananias. He found himself in this situation where God wanted him to speak for him, to go speak truth and life over someone, actually to go heal somebody. And that somebody was Saul, later known as Paul, right after he had his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And see, what this request was a big request, right? Because Saul was out there persecuting Christians. And then God says, hey, Ananias, I need you to go see this guy, Saul. He's like, who? Saul? Like, Saul? Like, the guy that's out there killing people for believing? I mean, that's a big ask that he's saying. So what we see is that Saul, like I said, known as Paul, he's on the road to Damascus. He's going there to persecute more Christians, to try to stop the church. And then Jesus comes and meets him, and he is radically transformed. This encounter was so powerful, it left him blind. And so the men that were with him, they're freaked out because they saw everything. They heard this voice. They didn't know what was going on. And Jesus told Saul, hey, just go to Damascus and wait. So the men led him there and left him there. And he was blind and he didn't eat for 3 days. And we pick up the story here in Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 10. It says, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. Then, or when you get there, you're going to ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest anyone who calls on your name. He's freaking out. Like, are you sure, Lord? Saul, really? Okay. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people in Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went, found Saul. He laid hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up, and he was baptized. Later known as Paul, goes on to write the majority of the New Testament. And God used his people. He used his people. Even when you may not want to do it, God might be showing you, hey, you need to go speak life into this person. Hey, you need to go hang out with this person. Hey, you need to go do this. Even if you don't want to at times, we need to do it. Because God is going to use you to do some incredible things in someone else's life. And you do not know what the ripple effect is going to be. It's amazing what can happen when we are faithful and we allow God to use us to do his work. And when I say us, I say us. It's not me. It's not the leaders of the church. We are all the church. You have what it takes. If you have Jesus, that's all you need. We can step up and step out and allow God to use us to speak truth and life to other people. You see, this is why it is so, so important for us to be connected, to do life together. If we want to move forward in our faith, yes, we have to connect with God. Yes, we have to understand that grace covers everything. But we also have to connect with his people. So my question for you this morning is, how are your current relationships with God's people? I am a firm believer in you having multiple different friend groups. If you don't have people that believe differently than you or maybe live differently than you in your circle of your network to some extent, how are you going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth? How are you going to reach your community and your world if you're just isolating, right? I don't want you, so don't hear me say, I don't want you to isolate in a Christian bubble. But you have to have your inner circle of Christ followers that you do life with to speak truth and life to you, for you to speak truth and life to them so that you can connect more with God, so iron can sharpen iron, so that you can be more prepared to go out and be Jesus to those people that you love. Man, I have so many people that are super close friends to me that I love dearly that I would take a bullet for that aren't believers. That's part of my mission. It's part of my calling. But I need other believers to sharpen me up so that I'm ready, so that I'm prepared, so that I can love the unlovable, so I can go into environments that might be a little uncomfortable, that I may not understand, and be able to be open-minded and love them. We need each other. We got to connect with each other. So what does your friend group, your current relationships with God's people look like? Are you creating intentional opportunities for iron to sharpen iron? For someone to speak life into you and for you to do the same? Are you creating those environments? Do you have that inner circle? If not, take a step forward. And be people that don't know Christ can come in and feel comfortable and loved and hear the message of truth. Anyone and everyone. It's an important time for us. But equally as important is when we walk out of here in a little bit until we come back Sunday. That's more important. So we've got to begin to connect with God's people outside of these walls. That's why it's one of the things that we are going to be focused on as a church in 2020. Creating opportunities for us to do life together inside and outside these walls. Because if we want our faith to move forward, we have to connect with God's people. It's important. So begin to take those steps and watch as your faith grows, as your relationship with God grows, as God reveals things to you in an incredible open way like never before through somebody else. Or watch as God speaks to you or speaks through you to somebody else. And that seems intimidating and scary, but it's not. It's a text message. I don't know how many times I felt like God's like, man, you need to text this person. Someone that I ain't talked to in forever. And I say, hey, bro, how's it going? Just want to say, hey, hope you're doing well. And then they hit me back. It's like, man, this is perfect timing. I'm going through this, and this, and that. Or it's, you know, social media, hitting someone a message or a DM or something, just dropping a line. It can be that simple. Asking someone out for coffee or dinner and then just having a dialogue, and God's going to speak through you things that you weren't even preparing to say or talk about, and or things that would have intimidated you before to talk about, and he's just going to supernaturally speak through you and connect with somebody. He can do that. He will do that because he uses his people. So as we move our faith forward in 2020 and beyond, begin to make connecting with God's people a priority. It will radically change the game for you. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning. We're just so thankful for who you are, for how much you love us, for the fact that you extend grace to us, that no matter what we've done, how far we run from you, how confused or lost we might feel at times, that you're right there, never leaving us, never forsaking us, waiting for us to run back to you with open arms. God, we're so thankful for that. And I pray that each person here this morning would remember that always, to not let the enemy hold them back and sideline them by believing that they're less than, that they're not important, or that they've been away from God for so long they can't talk to him, or they've done something so terrible that God can't possibly care about them anymore. God, May they not believe those lies, but remember your grace and your love and your mercy in all things. And God, as we come to you this morning, God, we're so thankful also that you use your people to build our faith, to strengthen us, to speak life to us, to love us, that you created your church not only to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to draw everyone back to you, God, but also for us to have a family, to have a rally point, to have people to have our backs, to encourage and lift each other up, to do life together. God, we're so thankful for that. And God, I pray that during this time of just reflection and prayer, connection with you, God, that you would speak to us, show us what our next steps are when it comes to connecting with your people, whether it be making ourselves more available, do life together. Maybe it's allowing you to use us to speak truth to somebody else. Maybe we've been scared of that. Maybe you've prompted us and we've pushed away because we're like, we're not good enough. Or it's an intimidating thing. It's a crazy ask. But God, may we have the strength and the courage to step out and be used by you in all new ways. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here this morning and you've never stepped over that line of faith. I'd be remiss if I didn't share that with you and give you the opportunity to accept Christ. The beautiful thing is that opportunity is always there. He's always right there. If you've never stepped over that line of faith, coming into a personal relationship with Jesus through confessing and believing, you could do that right now. See, God sent his son to die on the cross for you, defeated death, hell, and the grave, and rose again for you so that you could be connected to him, so that you could be forgiven, so that you can be restored. Like I said earlier, the old has passed away. The person that you were before then, gone, dead. You are a new creation, made new in Christ Jesus. It comes through grace, right? And so if you're here this morning, you've never stepped over that line of faith and you're ready to do so, I mean, just call out to God from right where you're at. You can just talk to him, like I said last week, however he leads you. Just have a conversation with God. It's not about a special magic prayer or anything like that. You just connect with him. You confess and you believe. Confess that you have flaws, that you're not perfect, and that you believe that he is the Son of God. Died and rose again for you. Just receive him as your Savior. Connect with him. Come into a relationship with him. At that moment, you are a new creation. And it's beautiful. The best decision you'll ever make in your life. But if you're here and that's you, but you're not ready, I get it. No worries. Keep coming to LifePoint. Keep asking questions. You can hit me up. I'd love to have a conversation with you. You're welcome here. We love you. Keep checking Jesus out. Keep exploring, keep searching, keep digging. Even when it gets messy, keep going. Keep moving forward. Whatever God's leading in this moment, you just do business with him as the team prays or plays. You just spend time with God. Again, God, we thank you. God, speak truth and love over us in this moment. Help us to be responsive. To listen to what you have to say. And then begin to take some steps forward. Maybe it's just that we need to praise and thank you. Whatever it might be, God, may we be responsive to your calling and your leading in this time.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.